into the story. No, let's get into the love story right now.
It's not too story. I just want to connect it that I told my mom about us splitting the bill, and she instantly was like, what? No. Like, he should be paying for everything for the first, like, 6 months or a year. Like, he should be paying for everything because that's what men do. And I'm like, well, hold up. It's not expected that the guy should always pay all the time. Like, splitting the bill is acceptable. And she'd be like, oh, no, but that he's not a real guy. Like, he's not going, like, what am I trying to say here? Like,
I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you know, like, he's not being masculine enough. Like, he mm-hmm. needs to treat the woman like, and just stuff that was very stereotypical of, I don't know, I guess the patriarchy.
Definitely.
And I was trying to tell my mom that. I was like, this is the 21st century. Like, we are moving past this very superficial idea. And she does not accept it at all. Mm-hmm. And so it's things like that where I'm like, you know, we are still trying to push. I mean, with the older generation still are trying to push the same traditional idea.
But. Yeah. I mean, this generation, too, I see a lot on social media of wanting this traditional relationship where a man is going to care for you and, like, spend money on you, and in return you're going to offer, you know, all these other things that a woman is expected to offer. And I think, as this blog said, that we learn how to love or how to treat a person that we're romantically interested in through media and, like, through our culture. So, like, a lot of songs, TV, fairy tales, all of that, like, we absorb that. And of course, a lot of the media that we grew up with is still pretty patriarchal. Like, we're not really, you know, post-patriarchy at this point. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of it we do absorb, and, like, you know, we kind of see it as the man's role to make a move or something, or right. like be the pursuer, and then the woman is just kind of, you know, waiting for something to happen to her, which I feel like is, you know, a common thought that a lot of people have.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, it is interesting now. Like, I'm also in a relationship, just seeing how, like, when you have this awareness of how patriarchy might influence it or not, like, it does, you're like, like, I know I don't want my relationship to fit into this structure. So it's like, you need to work on, you know, thinking about what kind of preconceived notions you have about men or women or, like, their roles in the relationship.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, for my relationship, I feel like, not that I felt insecure of it, but my mom mentioning it, again, here's another example, mm-hmm. That I was the one who asked out my boyfriend.
And my male boyfriend.
I was about to say male, but I'll use the actual word. Mm-hmm. And I felt okay with that, but I told my mom that, and she, I don't know, it felt like she, not ashamed, but she's like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's another thing. It's like, why am I being shamed for being independent and making my own decisions? Like, why are we still bound to this same traditional right? idea? And yeah. so it makes me feel bad. Like, I felt bad after, and I don't feel bad now, but it was like, I was perfectly fine beforehand.
Definitely.
So, yeah, that would be an example of our culture as well, is that just have to be very masculine. You, masculine, like, you gotta ask out the girl and stuff like that, which is just, we gotta move past that.
Yeah, I think that's such a good example of how breaking out of even, like, traditional gender norms in a straight relationship is mm-hmm. still kind of looked down upon in some ways, yeah. or, like, a lot of people might think it's, yeah, like, not how it should be. So I can't even imagine, like, existing in a gay relationship or a lesbian relationship, or, like, a relationship where you have multiple partners would be, if even, like, certain roles in a straight relationship are ostracized.
Oh, yeah.
Or thought down upon, which is, like, and we know, a lot of people know, like, we don't need those roles anymore. And I feel like in my relationship, I don't really feel like there are those roles. Mm-hmm. But it still is something that we are taught to aspire to, I guess.
Yeah.
At least as children.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like, and definitely with media today, it's like, oh, you have to have the short feminine girlfriend and the tall dude. You know, like, I'm just spewing words yeah. at this point. But, yeah, it's just those general ideas, like, even the social hierarchy as well. Like, I feel like it's also kind of boosts your prestige up if you have the desired kind of relationship that society mm-hmm. wants as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah. And then one other thing I wanted to add is that a lot of love is very romanticized, fantasized over in the media. Like, the whole fairy tale and they lived happily ever after kind of thing mm-hmm. is very, very common. And this doesn't necessarily have to do with queer theory or, like, straight relationships. I think it just can apply for everyone, is that in reality, like, love is difficult. Like, you need to work for it, and it, like, challenges us and everything. So I think, like, posing these traditional gender roles is, like, this is the secret to, you know, having, like, a happily ever after life is just not accurate. And then the conception of love in that is also not the most accurate either.
Right.
So, yeah.
End to that. And strong ending.
End to that.
Well, thank you. That was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I tried to look up some more notes on the biology. There's things, like, I'm just curious. I was curious last night, specifically, if mm-hmm. animals could experience romantic love. Because there's actually very little evidence that, well, I mean, it's very unknown that if we can see or, I don't know, understand that animals can feel romantic love. Because, I mean, they do mate. Actually, there's very little true monogamy, but we'll get into that in a moment. But it's kind of, it's difficult because how do you measure love in animals?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to actually measure it. There are things like we can see, like, for example, dogs being attached to their owners. There's the very famous specific example of this Skye Terrier from Edinburgh, Scotland. His name was Greyfriars Bobby. Don't know why.
Very Scottish.
Very, very Scottish name. A little long as well, but Bobby, his owner was named Constable John Grey. And after Constable John Grey passed away and they dug his grave up in a cemetery, the dog laid on his grave for 14 years every single night. And this is a true story. So how is that not attachment or some sort of love, you know? Like,
it definitely is love. I'm for sure certain that animals do feel love, mm-hmm. but you're right. Like, the question of romantic love, which is, like, the intimacy and the sexuality of it is, like, where is that link?
Yeah, like, do they know further past reproduction? Like, I know, like, animals, of course, want to reproduce, but do they feel the same romantic way that induces them to want to have romantic love? Anyways, but I think my personal hypothesis is that they do, because animals have the same neurochemistry as us. They're very similar. So, they have dopamine, they have oxytocin, they have cortisol, they have all those same neurochemicals that we have that give us those experience, like, how we experience love, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, like, I feel like they do, you know?
Yeah, why would they not?
Why would they not? And if it helps evolution, it probably should.
Yeah.
So
I agree. I mean, I thought that some animals made it for life. I'm not sure if that's true, but
that's what I thought too. But mm-hmm. specifically, mating for life, there's a slight difference. So it is monogamy, which monogamy, the definition includes exclusive mating, raising their offspring together and spending time together. But only it before, it seemed that there's a lot of monogamous species, but it was not true monogamy. So there's this one. So there's actually only 3-5% of 4,000 plus mammal species of all on Earth that practice true monogamy, which is this exclusive mating, raising kids, spending time together, because most of them practice, actually they found recently that it's called social monogamy, which is the same kind of principles where, like, sure, you raise this kid together, you spend time together, and you pretty much mate long term, but both animals see other animals as well. Okay. And have intercourse.
Mistresses.
Yeah, so they have little side... I was going to say...
Side things. Side pieces.
They have side pieces that they also see. But they still raise their kid and they're still normal and everything. They're not mad at each other, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I found really surprising. Because mm-hmm. what can that indicate for humans? Because we are basically mammals. We're not... like. This is also seen in things... in primates like chimpanzees as well, who share 96% of our DNA, which, I mean, we should probably be pretty similar to them.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was thinking, like, what about cheating and everything? Can we justify cheating? You know?
Well, it's more like, can we justify monogamy too? Like, is that the most natural thing?
Exactly.
Life mating monogamy relationships?
Exactly. Because if barely any species practice true monogamy, you know, like, something's a little fishy here. Yeah. So anyway, that's something interesting I found. There's not much research on this because it's such a difficult topic to mm-hmm. actually conduct scientific,
like, romantic
research.
Love,
yeah, how
with
do you
animals
measure romantic yeah. love? Like, you don't pull out a questionnaire and make the monkey, like, try to,
like, a Likert
yes,
scale,
no, yeah,
one to
no.
five.
Like, answer yeah. this, monkey. No, yeah. you can't do that. So, well, I guess it'll be really hard to measure. Maybe we'll find a way in the future. But that's the hypothesis mm-hmm. I have. But as well, I tried to also look up some information for queer people, like, for gay men and lesbians as well. Like, how is it an evolutionary advantage for them to be, like, paired off with each other? And, you know, like, because we're pushing monogamy so much, and evolution, I guess, is pushing monogamy to continue the race, but then we just have people who don't want to continue the race.
But yeah, is it evolution that's pushing monogamy, though, if, like, a lot of species aren't even monogamous?
I think because evolution pushes reproduction, which is a consequence of, I guess, a form of monogamy, like the social monogamy.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
what
But you
I
don't necessarily
think.
Need monogamy to
no,
reproduce.
No, that's what... No, I think evolution just wants as many people as possible.
Okay.
That's the main goal. Like, there's different pathways to getting to many people as possible. That's mm-hmm. what I think. But I found that, for example, for an evolutionary advantage for two gay men, for example, since, I guess... if we're talking very scientifically, like, in the animal kingdom, the gay mammal would probably be the gay mammal would probably outcast, because why is he not finding a female mate? You know, what's wrong with this mammal? So they would pair off with another low status gay mammal.
Okay, who wrote this?
No one
what
wrote this.
Is this reference?
I didn't. I'm just making up. Not making up some words, I'm just making it easier to understand. But then the social status...
It seems like homophobic.
No.
Two low-status males.
That's just what I wrote as my own words.
Continue.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, it would increase their social standing that they would stand together. And as well, if they do want to carry, like, have an offspring, or not have an offspring, but care for one, it promotes biparental support for the offspring, which is two is better than one.
But how does it explain them being gay? Because it just seems like, oh, this is a consequence.
I think it's just the love. I don't honestly know.
Yeah, I feel like explaining...
You can't really explain.
Getting too biological with love kind of erases a lot of people from, you know, this certain idea of love too. Like, even... like, fathers, for example, we could say, like, evolutionarily wise, like, we don't really need fathers other than, you know, what their main role is in reproducing. Like, all you really need is a mother, but then...
But then men, because for guys, you need... they sometimes have resources. They got lots of resources for your offspring.
Okay.
Or they have... there's this one called the good genes hypothesis. I actually, when I took a biology, I took my first year biology class, and we learned about these things, these guys called widow birds. They have really, really long tails. And it kind of affects their way of flying because, of course, like, your massive tail is dragging on the ground as you're trying to fly. But it attracts the female widow birds because it indicates that they have, a superior gene to them. And so they want the healthiest offspring as possible. So they would go for the males with long tails, even though it would affect their way of flying and for survival from other animals, they would still go for them. So I feel like that's something on the biological side that may help the conversation, but...
Interesting. Interesting tidbit.
A little tidbit.
Yeah, fact.
Yeah.
Factoid.
But, yeah.
It is hard to, like... Because there are definitely... Like, we know there are gay animals out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that happens in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
It's not unusual at all. So then, to explain, like, if them being gay made them low status, like, why would they be gay in the first place? You know what I mean?
I think sometimes just... I think nature just has deviations. You know, like, I don't think anything...
But are you
everything
saying,
can be perfect.
Like... That okay. Wait. Are you saying like, being straight is more natural than being gay though, and that being gay is a deviation from being?
I guess
straight?
Not the word natural, not the word normal either. But it's just like if we have a standard deviation.
No.
Of course, the majority of people would be quite the same, but then there's always going to be outliers, you know, and I think that could also. Be relevant for talking about the sexual orientation of people.
I have a problem with this like theory is that it just poses like heterosexuality as like the most normal thing about us, but I feel like as being queer is becoming like more accepted in society and like more people are feeling like okay with sharing their sexuality with others, like, we do see that there are more people who are, like, openly being queer. So I'm like...
But I mean, like...
I don't know if being straight is even the most normal.
The most normal. So you think that there's more queer people than...
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, we can't say that, like, being gay is, you know, like, not... like not a normal
thing. I would use the word maybe more common, like it's more common to be heterosexual than not like normal, or I mean the general population would be heterosexual, because I mean if we like with statistics and things as well, like I feel like it could never be more than 10%. I
where
mean,
did that number come from?
I'm sorry. I'm just throwing out numbers here. No, but conversation's getting
quickly
less scientific.
Population analysis
sorry.
Here.
Sorry, everyone. But you know, like,
but it is an interesting question.
Interesting.
Like, if we think about evolution as strictly reproduction, like. Why we're trying to like explain away like why do gay people like this
why
is like a confounding confusing factor for a lot of like scientists and theorists, but
yeah, like
I think love does not need to be that complicated as it only serves for reproduction, because like you said before at the beginning, like social connection,
yeah,
feeling like there's so many good things that come from love and feeling loved for us as humans to like thrive and even like survive and everything, like I don't think it's like love's only reason cannot be, in my mind, like my opinion is that love cannot only be for reproduction, even though that is probably like a result of it, like
it's more nuanced than that,
it's definitely more
more
details than that, just that, so
yeah I think that's
time to wrap up, I guess.
Time to wrap up. That was actually longer than I thought as well.
But
yeah, that was our little wrap up on
little
that
discussion.
Maybe we can next time why do queer people exist?
No.
Oh my God. I think that's what DJ Star is trying to go
this
into.
Is brutal. I'm sorry for all the queer people listening right now, like your existence is valid, it's not like outside of the standard deviation, it's okay.
It's okay. Now, no shame
like,
at all.
We just
got too scientific that it may be insult.
Yeah, and I'm not straight either. I'll just like to say that too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think like being queer is not.
So you're like trying to defend. You're like, I'm one of you guys.
God, okay.
Okay, play the music.
Play the music.
Play the music.
Like,
we're playing
the
music. I'm
just trying to say,
okay, this
not coming from a place of like hatred or anything, for sure.
Okay. Anyway, this next
anyway.
One
oh
is called Peace by by Berlioz. So,
peace, everyone. Peace and love.
The world is pretty much the way it is, and you have your life in it. When we do encounter the difficult things in life, rather than running, we can get to a place in ourselves where it is pretty peaceful.
my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down. I dance like a queen, and my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down. I dance like a queen, and my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down. I dance like a queen, and my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down. I dance like a queen, and my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down. I dance like a queen, and my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down. I dance like a queen, and my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down. I dance like a queen, and my dress is a dream. Oh, look at me now, I'm not coming down.
See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.